Increase our faith. This is a pretty simple and seemingly reasonable request from the apostles that we hear in the gospel passage. But apparently, they have the wrong disposition of heart, as we see from Christ's response. And basically, he teaches that it isn't the size of faith that matters. You don't need a big faith that others can see that bears great fruits that you can point to and pat yourself on the back for. What you do need is a humble faith in Him, in His mercy, power, and glory. Then He will bring about great fruits beyond your wildest dreams, although they may not be fruits that are big and flashy to worldly eyes. If you just do what He asks you, then He will take care of the rest. He takes care of it. And He doesn't need much from you in order to do great things through you. He just needs your yes. That's all He needs. Yet, when He does do these wonderful things, that doesn't make you a hero. They aren't your fruits, they're His fruits that He brings about through you. And so don't go bragging, you know, patting yourself on the back. That's one of the key lessons from this passage. Don't try to take the glory upon yourself. To Him be the glory. However, as we know, this is easier said than done. Especially in difficult times when it seems easier to doubt and question God than to follow and obey Him. In today's first reading, the prophet Habakkuk is having a tough time, we can see. But he still has a little faith. And the Lord uses that wavering faith to assure the prophet and guide him forward. The basic message is, have no fear, be strong, and trust in me. My power is far superior to the earthly powers that frighten you. So don't be deceived, just stay the course. Now, this is very difficult to do when everyone else is abandoning ship. And what's going on in Habakkuk's life is everybody else is abandoning ship. All these, you know, the terrible barbarians are there. They're threatening. They have huge armies. They're going to kill everybody. And so people are saying, I don't know if I can trust in the Lord. He's just saying, trust in me. And these guys are killing my family or my friends or whatever. So people are jumping ship. The Lord's saying, stay the course. My words are going to be fulfilled, he's assuring the prophet. So yes, he further assures him right there at the end, the rash one has no integrity. The rash one who gets blown about by the winds of the time and doesn't take roots, especially doesn't take roots in the Lord. Just makes rash judgments here and there. Oh, I better do this. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, I'm this. The rash one has no integrity. But the just one, because of his faith, shall live. The just one, because of his faith, shall live. And this ends up being true, right? Most of the Jews are killed. Some of them are hauled off to captivity in exile. But the just ones, because of their faith, they're the ones that live. In today's second reading, Timothy also seems to be having a tough time. He has some reservations about walking close to God amidst trials, just like the prophet Habakkuk. So Paul beautifully and confidently assures him to soldier on. I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have. Now he's talking immediately. He talks about, through the imposition of my hands, he's talking about holy orders, ordination. But it also applies to every single one of the baptized. That great gift, the fire of the Holy Spirit that was given to us all in baptism. Back to Paul now. Well, so he says, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God you have. Don't let it go out. Stir it into flame. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. There's no reason to shrink back from those who oppose the faith or want to water it down. Sure, some of these opposers can be very loud. They can be intimidating. They come at us to try to scare us. Really the fears in their heart that's leading them, but they want to intimidate us oftentimes, right? But despite what they say, there's nothing wrong with the faith. There's everything right with the faith. There's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. There's everything right with him. Now, does he challenge us? Does he lead us to do things that we don't really want to do, but that really are healthy for us? Just like eating broccoli? Yes, he does, because it's good for us. So, brothers and sisters, stir into flame that gift that God gave you in holy baptism, and keeps nurturing in you throughout the sacramental life of the church, your prayer life, etc. And confidently stand firm in him. He's the answer. He's the answer. And then you'll see that most of the time the opposers actually don't know what they're talking about. They're spouting off whatever they heard on the news, or whatever they heard this talking head say, or whatever they heard this philosopher say. But really, at the end of the day, the vast majority of them, they're just clinging to misperceptions and or to the whims of the world without seriously considering what the church actually teaches and what the church actually does. A lot of what they believe isn't even true. They accuse us of all these things that it's obviously false, but they're not doing any due diligence. They're just spouting off whatever they heard somebody else say. And as I alluded to earlier, their loud tactics merely mask their ignorance and their fears. They're hurting deep down inside. This is their way of trying to compensate for it. Back to Paul here. So do not be afraid of your testimony to our Lord, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He's talking about bearing our share of the cross here. Know where the strength comes from, though. Not from me. Not from you. From him. You can't bear the share of your cross on your own. Just can't do it. You're going to get crushed. But you definitely can do it with the Lord. And that's exactly what he wants you to do and me to do. And it's the most wonderful way to live. So let's stop getting bullied and pushed around by these loud voices and stand up, stand tall in Christ. It's beautiful. That's what we're all called to do. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We hear one of the most famous refrains from the Psalms. Usually it's more accentuated in Lent, but we even have it now, right? If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And you might say, well, I'm not hearing his voice. And I say, well, you're not listening then, because he's calling every single one of us every single day. Yes, no doubt he's calling you to proclaim him, truth itself, to a world that is so darkened to reality and authentic human living. Just look at the way many people are living right now. It's so obviously against who we're created to be, and that they proclaim that as truth. And anybody that says anything about it, boy, you're terrible. You're a domestic terrorist, right? You're a misogynist, a homophobe, all this kind of stuff. Yet, even before we go out and proclaim that to other people, he calls you first to be honest about the darkness in your own heart and allow him to banish it. Allow him to banish it. This is ongoing conversion. You hear me talk about it all the time, many different shapes and forms, but ongoing conversion is the center of Catholic life, of authentic human living. So confession and Eucharist, the bread and butter of our lives. Confession frequently, I highly recommend once a month at least, and Eucharist every Sunday and on holy days. That's how we walk this path with the Lord. Then we have something to give. Only then do we have something to offer those who are confused, disillusioned, and lost. And if we don't do that, then we're confused, disillusioned, and lost. But only then, when we walk this path of ongoing conversion, only then will you be able to confidently engage the bullies and help them to find peace and joy. As we noted earlier, they're searching for that peace and joy. Why do you think they're so angry and miserable all the time? They think they have the right answers, but look at how they live. Look at how they act. That's not the way people act when they're fulfilled, when they're happy, right? No, they're not angry and miserable all the time. No matter what they say, they don't realize the reality. So yes, even the bullies, they want Jesus. They might not realize it, but every single person in this world wants Jesus deep down. It's written in our hearts. Friends, this is what the Christian life is all about. In fact, this is the best possible way to live, walking in the glorious freedom of the children of God. It's exceptional. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. Tough, yes, but it's absolutely magnificent. remember God's assurance to Habakkuk, as it's also very applicable to us. The rash one has no integrity. The world is plumb full of rash judgment right now, right? We see it all over the place. Oh, we got to do this. Oh, we got to. Oh, we got to move this way. Oh, you know, trying to fill whatever void is in our hearts with the next flashy item that comes by, right? Certainly not going to be anchored in the Lord. No way. That's old, you know, medieval superstition. That's tradition. We eschew tradition so that I can choose whatever I want, whenever I want. That's basically what our culture tells us. But the rash one has no integrity. This secularist view that intentionally pushes God out of the picture. No integrity there. But the just one, because of his faith, shall live. And yes, when we talk about shall live, we'll live in the glorious freedom of the children of God now, live the best possible life now, the fullness of life now, but all the more in eternity. The just one, because of his faith, because of her faith, shall live. Our closing prayer today that you're going to hear at the end of Mass gives us wonderful encouragement as well to walk this path and become even more the Eucharistic people, the saints that we were all created to be. Here it is. You'll hear it at the end of Mass, but here's a little precursor. Grant us, Almighty God, that we may be refreshed and nourished by the sacrament which we have received. It doesn't say, grant us, Lord, that we can kind of daydream through Mass and then maybe come up and receive communion and don't even think about it. Grant us, Almighty God, that we may be refreshed and nourished by the sacrament which we have received. The Holy Eucharist, Jesus himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's who we're going to receive here in just a few minutes. So as to be transformed into what we consume. Check that out. So as we can be transformed into what we consume. What are we consuming? Who are we consuming? Jesus Christ. Transformed into what we consume. Transformed into Jesus. This is what we're created for, brothers and sisters. This is marvelous, what this prayer is saying right here. And so chew on this over the next week. I encourage you to do that. What does that really mean? What does that mean for me in my life right now? Chew on it over the next week and just see what God's going to do in your life. Just see what he does in your heart. I can guarantee you, you're not going to be disappointed.